Good morning, church. Let's pray together once more as we prepare our hearts for God's word. Father, we just thank you for your presence here in this place, that you are so faithful as we gather in your name, that you are here in our midst. And I pray, Father, that today, by your Spirit, Lord, that you would speak into each heart and life, Lord, that we might fully obey you and bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we have been in a series on the kingdom of God for, well, this is the sixth week, and I am going to officially wrap up this series today, but we're not going to stop preaching the kingdom. We're not going to stop talking about the kingdom. I believe that it is good news that this world needs to hear, and it is something that God wants to bring to the forefront in the church today, that he wants to rule and reign in the lives of his people. Jesus came preaching the kingdom. It's Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." What did Jesus preach? He preached the good news of the kingdom of God. And I want you to know that is the best news ever, that Jesus, the King, came to reign and to rule in the lives of his people. When the scripture says the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, it is talking about where God rules and reigns. Now, where he reigns, that's where his kingdom is. Jesus told the disciples, "The kingdom is within you." He reigns in our hearts and in our lives. Jesus, our King, did not come to earth to set up a physical kingdom on earth. No, he came to reign and rule in our hearts. This kingdom, you see, it is a spiritual kingdom. It is a progressive kingdom. It will supersede all other kingdoms, and this kingdom will last forever. The kingdom has come when he rules and reigns in our lives. Does he rule and reign in your heart, in your life, in every area of your life? I want to remind you that Jesus also preached along with this good news of the kingdom. Part of that good news was repent and believe the good news. And I want to tell you, when people really believe that God wants to rule and reign in their life, why would you not turn your life over to him? See, that's what it means to repent. It doesn't mean stop doing bad things. It means turn your life over to God. And I'm telling you, when people do that, everything changes. When Jesus is truly King and Lord, then everything changes. It's a different order. We don't play by the world's rules. I'm not talking about rebelling against authority. Oh no, that's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm saying that we are under the reign and the rule of an eternal King. And we have been removed from the control, the authority of the dominion of darkness. It's Colossians 1:13. He says, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." You see, it changes everything. It changes how we live. But it also changes who is in control of our lives. You know, when we call him Lord, that word is not just another name or title for God. It means master. When we call him Lord, we are turning over the control of our lives to him. But you need to understand that it is not just that we gave the control to him. You need to understand that the dominion of darkness, the powers of darkness, no longer have any control in your life when you turn it over to King Jesus. We've been moved into a different place, not physically, but spiritually. It is a spiritual kingdom. And when we are in Jesus' kingdom, we are no longer living under the control of the God of this world. I'm telling you, people need to read the Bible. People think that everything that happens in this world is God's will or God's doing. Listen, when the Bible talks about the God of this world, it is not talking about our Heavenly Father. It tells us that the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they will not receive the glorious light of the gospel. That is the God of this world. And He is at work. You see, that's how His kingdom works. He deceives, He blinds, and He binds up. But our God created us in His image that we could choose to serve Him and to make Him our King. The kingdom of God is progressive. Hebrews 12 and 28 says that we are receiving a kingdom. You see, the kingdom is in us more and more as we allow Him to reign and to rule in our lives. I don't know about you, but my life has changed a lot since the day that I first put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's still growing. It's getting bigger in me. I'm talking about His reign and His rule. It's progressive, and it should be progressive in our lives, and also it is progressive in this world. I want to say it one more time. In this age, He does not rule by force, but by choice. We have to choose to make Him our King. And the more that we allow Him to be our King, to be in control of our lives, the more that His kingdom is evident within us. In Matthew 13, 31 through 33, Jesus tells us very plainly that the kingdom is growing, that it is progressing. He told them a parable, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field, and though it was the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." He told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." There's one point to these two parables. The kingdom started very small in this world, but it just keeps growing and keeps growing and keeps growing. It just keeps progressing. For 2,000 years now, it has continued to grow. Not as a physical kingdom, but as a spiritual kingdom in the hearts and lives of His people. And I'm telling you that it will also continue to grow in your life as you allow Him to take over your life. Take over your life. Take over your life. What is that? Preacher, you're talking about some radical thing. I sure am. Listen, Jesus never preached this silly, wimpy stuff that is being passed off as Christianity today. No. He said, "Follow me." It's radical. It's not just, "Hey, this is easy. Pray this prayer." Let me tell you what Jesus taught. Broad is the way to destruction, and many go there. Narrow is the way to life, and only few find it. I'm telling you, Jesus has called us to follow Him absolutely, to truly make Him our Lord and our King. What if we allowed Him to truly be King over our homes? that we didn't do it our way. We didn't do it the world's way. We didn't do it Dr. Phil's way. We did it His way. And we truly obeyed Him as our King, that whatever He said, we didn't consider to be optional. We didn't consider it to be the last resort. But we built our lives upon the words of the King. And we obeyed Him. I'm telling you, our marriages would be quite different. Raising godly children would be quite different. We need to be receiving His kingdom, letting it progress in our lives. What a shame to get to the place where we no longer grow in the Lord. We're no longer moving on with God. And I'm just telling you, it should progress in us. How does it progress? Jesus taught us to pray for His kingdom to come and His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. This was not taught just to be some meaningless ritual religious prayer. This was given to us as a pattern for our prayer life. And this is the first thing that we ask God for, is for His kingdom to come. We're asking for the reign and rule of God to come in this world and for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is not automatic here in this world. We have to pray for it. You see, we have to invite His reign. We invite His reign, His rule in our life. We invite it in our family. We invite His reign and rule in the church, in our community. He doesn't reign by force. No, He reigns by request. He made us in His image, and we have to choose. We have to invite Him. We say, Lord, let Your kingdom come and Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we pray over our family that way. We pray over our finances that way. So many people living in bondage and fear and stress and all kinds of trouble in their finances that, I'm telling you, that's not God. That's not His plan. No, He says that if we'll seek first the kingdom, all these things will be added unto you. But I'm just telling you, we need the kingdom in our finances. We need to truly turn the control of it over to the Lord and let Him have His way in every area of our life. How do we see the kingdom progress? We pray for it. We invite Him to reign. Number two, we see the kingdom progress as we do what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. We seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. You see, it's not automatic. It happens as we seek the kingdom. In this world, people seek all kinds of things. Well, you know, the number one thing that people seek is things, stuff. And you know what? The Lord doesn't mind if you have stuff. In fact, from reading the scripture, I don't think God minds if you have a whole lot of stuff. Because I see so many of His people had a lot of stuff, and God didn't have a problem with it. In fact, it was God who blessed them with it. But what the Lord does have a problem with is covetousness. When we desire and lust after stuff, and when we seek after stuff. And so He says, don't worry about all the stuff. You're not supposed to be stressed. You're not supposed to be thinking about that, worried about that. He says, instead, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all the stuff will be added to you. But we got to seek the kingdom first. You see, God will not be second in your life. You have no other gods before Me. We have to seek first. What are we talking about? Seek first the reign and rule of God in your life and His righteousness. You see, when you put it in those terms, it makes perfect sense that it's and His righteousness. You're seeking His reign and rule and His righteousness. As we're obeying Him, we're doing what He wants. We're allowing Him to truly be King in our life. But if we pray for his kingdom to come, and yet we're not willing to seek first his kingdom, that's just not sincere. The Bible has so much to say about the kingdom, and a lot of it just doesn't fit with the pop theology of the day. And I hope that through this series that you become inspired yourself to study the scripture about the kingdom. Here's a verse that many would struggle with. It just doesn't seem to fit in with the pop theology of the day. Acts 14 and 22, that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Oh, no, no, no. And in our country, in our world, in our culture, I mean, everything is supposed to be quick and easy. And so let's make this quick and easy. No, he didn't say quick and easy. He said through much tribulation, we enter that kingdom. Because I'm telling you, the kingdoms of this world are not going to let go easily. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a struggle. Through much tribulation, we enter into this kingdom. We pray for his kingdom to come. We seek his kingdom. We pursue after it. Oh, don't waste your time pursuing trivial things that won't matter in eternity. His kingdom progresses as we take the gospel of the kingdom to the world, and more people make him their king. Matthew 24:14, Jesus said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." When's the end going to come? Oh, you know, there's all these wars, and you know, all this stuff is happening in the world. There's earthquakes and storms. That's not it. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world, and then the end will come. Those are the words of Jesus. How many of you believe the words of Jesus? The end is coming when this gospel is preached to all the world. Then the end will come. How does it progress? As we take this gospel of the kingdom to the whole world. Because more and more and more people will accept Jesus as their king. Are you praying for his kingdom to come? Are you daily, you see, inviting his rule and reign? Are you seeking and pursuing his kingdom and his righteousness first? Are you laying hold of the kingdom by force, furthering, advancing the kingdom, taking this gospel to the world? This kingdom will supersede all other kingdoms. We're going to go to the book of Daniel. We're going to look at three different stories there. I'm going to go to Daniel chapter 2 first. I am passionate about this message in this series. And I know that it is somewhat uphill in the day and the time we live in. This is not pablum. This is not milquetoast. How we need this today. This is real. And church, we need to get a hold of this. Because this kingdom is real. And it's just going to get stronger and stronger and bigger and bigger. It will supersede. It will crush all of the kingdoms of this world. In Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And I'm going to tell you the short version. Daniel interprets the dream for him. And the dream revealed all of the great kingdoms of the earth, beginning from the Babylonian Empire on. And then in the dream, it tells about a great stone that crushes all of the other kingdoms. In verse 44 and 45 of Daniel chapter 2, it says, "And in the days of these kings,
In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And I'm telling you that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came and set up a kingdom. He said, the kingdom is at hand. In the days of these kings, you see, he came in the midst of the kingdoms of this world and set up a kingdom. And that kingdom will never be destroyed. All of the other kingdoms come and go. Kings come and go. But this kingdom will never be destroyed. One day we will see the fullness of the kingdom in eternity. But even now, his kingdom supersedes in our lives. Let me go back to the scripture. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. See, all those other kingdoms, one replaces the next, but not this one. No, it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, you see, all other kingdoms are made by the hands of men, but not this kingdom. It was without the hands of men. It was God. And that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. In fact, it broke them to powder that the wind just blew away. God's kingdom is forever. It will supersede all of the other kingdoms, and it will never be destroyed. All the others will be gone. I thank God for our country, for the freedoms and the blessings that we have. But there will be a day when the USA will be gone. Russia will be gone. China will be gone. They'll all be gone. None of them are going to last. Some of you, you're just struggling with that. Well, let me just tell you, the kingdom of God is going to take over. It's already taken over. I'm not talking about a physical kingdom. I'm talking about in the hearts of people. The gates of hell can't stop it. They can't stop the church. And it's very real right now. There is that fullness of the kingdom coming in eternity, but I'm telling you that even now, he is ruling and reigning in the hearts of those who serve him. Listen, the kingdom of darkness manifests itself through the kingdoms of this world. The kingdom of God is manifest in the people of God, the church. There really is a kingdom of darkness that works and influences the kingdoms of this world. Listen, Matthew 4:8, the devil takes Jesus on an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he said, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And this was the temptation. He said, if you'll just worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. The prince of the power of the air, the god of this age, he offers to Jesus the kingdoms of this world. I want you to see the progression of the kingdom. I want you to see what's going to happen. You just flip over to Revelations chapter 11 and verse 15. And it says, the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Jesus didn't have to bow and worship to Satan to become the King of Kings. All of the kingdoms of this world will be superseded by his kingdom. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Wow. That is a kingdom that is progressing. Back to Daniel. Daniel chapter 4, we have another story about King Nebuchadnezzar. He's made this decree that everyone in his kingdom has to bow to him. It's a matter of control. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Hebrew young men, had a revelation of who the true and living God was, and they were not going to bow their knee to an earthly king. They were not going to give in and worship an earthly king. So the king had them thrown into a fiery furnace. The Bible tells us that it was heated up to 7 times hotter than normal. And the men who carried them to the furnace and threw them in, the fire was so hot that it consumed the men that threw them in. But then Nebuchadnezzar sees into the fiery furnace, and he sees these three young men walking around unharmed by the fire. In fact, the only thing that burned was the bonds that were on them when they threw them in. And then he sees a fourth man in the fiery furnace with them. He says, like the Son of God. And he brought them out of the fire. It is a phenomenal thing that God shows up when we don't bow to the kingdoms of this world. And God is glorified in it. Listen to what Nebuchadnezzar says. It's Daniel 4:1-3. Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. You see, Nebuchadnezzar got a revelation of the kingdom of God that is forever and ever, from generation to generation. And there it is for 2,000 years, this kingdom, the church, has been growing and growing and growing from generation to generation. But listen, it was because these three young men served the true king, the living God, that Nebuchadnezzar saw that there was a power greater than him. And oh, how this world needs to see that our God is real. They need to see that the God we serve, that his power supersedes all of the kingdoms of this world. One more story from Daniel. It's a familiar story. Most of us know it well, but we call it Daniel in the lion's den. It's from Daniel chapter 6. There's a new king, and Daniel has favor with this king as well. Earthly kings come and go. This new king, King Darius, has been tricked by some men who hate Daniel, and they're envious of him, and so they get the king to pass a decree that anybody who prays to another god other than the king will be thrown into the lion's den. And of course, Daniel prays 3 times a day. He's praying. He wants God's rule and reign. Listen, this is how you get God involved in your life. You pray. And so Daniel is praying 3 times a day, and the king can't appear to be weak. And so even though he doesn't want Daniel to die, he has him thrown into the lion's den. But he says this, he says to Daniel, may the God you serve night and day deliver you. Well, you know the story. That's exactly what happened, that God shut the mouths of the lions. God intervened. He superseded the natural order of things again. He did it when those young men were thrown into the fiery furnace. You see, the kingdom supersedes. And he did it here. When Daniel's thrown into the lion's den, it's not hard for God. He shuts the mouths of the lions. Why are we afraid? The one whom we serve has all the power. And his kingdom is much greater than the kingdoms of this world. the Lord delivered Daniel and turned the whole situation around for him. In Daniel 6:24, I want to read this to you. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. They got their appetite back. Daniel overcame in the lion's den because God reigns. And I'm telling you, when God's people pray and seek His kingdom, He will reign in our lives, and the world will know that our God is real and that He reigns. And again, listen to verse 25 and 26. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for He is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall never be destroyed, and His dominion shall endure to the end. Here's another ungodly king who has a revelation of the kingdom of God, and he says it will never be destroyed, it will never end. And how did this happen? Because there was somebody who truly served the Lord. Somebody who was not afraid to pray, somebody who was not afraid to truly obey God and do what God wanted him to do, no matter what the consequences. The Lord still delivers from lions. What attack is there in your life? 1 Peter 5:8, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But our God still closes the mouth of the lion. When we submit our lives to Him, the Bible tells us, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, when we truly let Jesus be king, we have nothing to fear. Satan has no power. He has no authority against us. What kingdom might have a hold on you? I'm telling you, those lions, their power had no power against Daniel. But then those accusers, how quickly they were destroyed by the lions. I'm telling you, God is well able to take care of His own and deliver you from any attack, because His kingdom supersedes all others. Now, let's go to the book of Hebrews. His kingdom is taking over. Are you ready? We're just going to read two verses here. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. He says, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Now listen, all the other kingdoms can be shaken. There's a lot of shaking going on in our world right now. A lot of uncertainty. Well, let me tell you, God's kingdom cannot be shaken. And we can pray and we can wish and we can hope that all the shaking in this world would just go away. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day when there's going to be such a shaking that it's all going to pass away. Since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. I'm telling you, we don't need to be afraid in this world. We don't have anything to be afraid of. Our King is coming to rule. But oh, how we should have a godly fear. Listen, we're not playing church, that we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. He says, for our God is a consuming fire. And everything, you see, everything that is not of His kingdom is going to be shaken. The only thing that's going to last through the shaking and the fire is going to be His kingdom.
Are you ready?
Has he taken over your life? See, this is not a safe religion. This is a life-changing kingdom. This isn't a powerless religion. This is a kingdom that supersedes all else. And all of the kingdoms of this world are going to crumble. So when you feel the shaking around you, don't be afraid. Just know that there is a kingdom that is coming that cannot be shaken. He ends, he says, our God is a consuming fire. We're going to look at 2 Peter 3:10 through 13. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? If this is real, that the heavens and the earth are going to be dissolved with a fervent heat, how should we live our lives today? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. See, in that new heaven and new earth, there's not going to be any sin. No, just righteousness. Nothing but his kingdom is going to stand when he returns. He's coming a second time. And the Bible says, see, you never hear this preached, but the Bible says that he is coming the second time in wrath, that the wrath of the Lamb will come. And I'm telling you, this world isn't ready, but we need to be ready to go with him. We who are the subjects of his kingdom. This kingdom will last forever. And there's coming a time in eternity when only the will of God will be done. Crazy religious people now say everything that happens is God's will. Oh, what a lie. But there will be a time in eternity in the kingdom of heaven when only the will of God is done. I want to just take you through a few scriptures in Revelation to show you what the kingdom looks like in eternity. And I'm just going to read a few passages, but I encourage you to read the last couple of chapters of Revelation. It is phenomenal. I'm going to begin with verse 1 of chapter 21. It says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Oh, have you ever hurt? Had a broken heart. There shall be no more death. Lost a loved one. And no more sorrow. No more depression. No more sadness. No more crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away." Let me tell you what the kingdom is like. There's no pain. There's no death. There's no sorrow. There's no crying. You see, in this world, we have death, we have sorrow, we have crying, we have pain. You know why? It's the kingdoms of this world. But in the kingdom of God, there will be no more pain, no more sorrow. The perfect will of God will be there. And God reigns and rules absolute. Just a few verses later, verse 22 through 27, it's all good. I'm just trying to narrow this down this morning just for time's sake. He says, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light.
And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, what a different place it will be when he reigns and rules supreme. One last passage, Revelation 22, 3 through 5. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. What are we going to do in heaven? We'll just do whatever we want. Weird concept that people have about heaven. I'll tell you what we're going to do in heaven. What we're supposed to be doing here. We're going to serve the King. His servants will serve him. That might make some people not want to go. They just don't know what we know. There's not going to be any pain. There's not going to be any crying. There's not going to be any more heartache. No sorrow. No curse. But his servants will serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign, and they shall reign forever and ever. Wow. Amazing. This is real. It's so fantastic that Hollywood could never make a movie about it. But it's real. And it's happening. This kingdom, this eternal kingdom, it's progressive. It supersedes all other kingdoms. It's taking over. And it's never going away. It's going to be for all eternity. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you have given us such a privilege, Lord, to be a part of your kingdom. And I pray, Father, that today you truly reign in each and every heart and life. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would just do a work in us and that you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I would encourage you today, listen, if there is an area of your life that you have not truly allowed Jesus to be Lord in, I encourage you to turn that over to him. He is trustworthy. There is no other that you want to be your Lord. No other. Let him rule. Let him reign in your life. Some of you this morning, you realize that you have been under a great attack and going through great difficulty. I'm telling you, there is a God who can intervene in your life. But you got to turn it over to him. You got to turn it over to him. And all of us have the opportunity to make a difference in this world as we pray, as we seek his kingdom, and as we are willing to tell others about this glorious good news of the kingdom, that God loves them and he wants to rule and to reign in their life. Amen. As always, if you have any prayer need or if God is speaking to you or dealing with you in some way, I just encourage you to come. I'm going to speak the blessing over the congregation as we dismiss, but if you need prayer, you come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.